Our gospel for this Sunday comes to us from the fourth chapter of the gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Yeah, Jesus is in the midst of a bunch of parables, and he is aside the Sea of Galilee, and he is using agricultural images. In this case, he's talking about the kingdom of God, and he's using the imagery of seeds. Jesus also said the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He doesn't know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, and then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with a sickle, because the harvest has come. He also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, and they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Have you ever thought about the fact that you might be complimented by being called succulent? I got to say that, you know, early on I was a high school biology teacher in an all-girls classroom. Try to have a conversation using the word succulent without a room full of giggles. Yeah, that was fun. Now, many of you know that my first call was in the, as I like to refer to it, the 607th cornfield south of Chicago. And so, I mean, we were 20 miles from a town called Flatville. If you were riding combine at the end, during harvest season, you could see the curve of the earth. The church was built on the side of the largest hill in the county, and the total rise was 50 feet. I mean, it was just the way it was. But being in amongst all of these farmers was rather interesting, and you just being able to see these, the things they were doing and all that. I remember trying to keep some memories of it and trying to take pictures while I was out there with them, but they all turned out grainy. And I just really had to learn how to crop them better. Now, the good thing was I was able to farm out a lot of the work to people who were outstanding in their field. But there were those that decided, especially since, you know, knowing who I was, that they knew one who would be able to help me out. So they sent me to Cabo San Lucas. And I knew it was the right place to learn how to take pictures of the bean fields, because over the door it said, soy camera. I walked in and I said, soy camera? He said, si, and I bought the camera. Yes, the joke is just as bad in Spanish as it is in English. But have you ever thought of the fact that soy milk is nothing more than Mexican milk trying to introduce itself? Just something to think about. Yes, I was outstanding in my field, and many people said I should have stayed out there. But it was interesting because it was a parsonage next to the church, and the parsonage was a classic country church parsonage. Big cherry tree, big apple tree, big pear tree, grapevines, mint everywhere, and I mean everywhere. 3-year war on mint. Raspberries, rhubarb, grapevines, and a garden that was easily 20 feet wide and 50 feet long. Literally, a farmer would come in with a tractor to plow it. Because I tried using a rototiller once to prep that garden. 4 hours later, I still had more than half of it to do. But they had it all set up. It was lovely. It was great. And here's this kid who grew up, you know, not doing a lot of gardening, helping out from time to time, but coming literally from Chicago, downtown, to here. But we got to give it a try. So we plant some sunflowers because they're fun. We like green, you know, green beans, green peppers, tomatoes, some onions. Tried, you know, I planted some pumpkin. Why the heck not? And watermelon. I had all this space. I didn't know what to do with it. And the fun part was, in July was the only time we could take vacation. So we're gone for 2 weeks. And when I came back, I can proudly state we had the greenest garden in all of Ford County. Most of it was pig's weed and creeping Charlie and dandelions. Because if nothing else, weeds will grow. Because weeds will grow. Well, that fall, we got new neighbors. It was a retired ag science teacher from a high school. And he came over and he was kind of like, how about we take over the garden for you next year and you can take whatever you want? We're retired. We got lots of time. I said, sold. And he's looking at the garden. He's going, what idiot told you to plant watermelon? Watermelon doesn't grow in Ford County. Guess what I had? I had a bunch of watermelons. Guess what I didn't have any year following? Watermelons. For whatever reason, they didn't know they weren't going to grow in Ford County until he told them. Seeds. Seeds. There's something seedy about this audience right now. Jesus is talking in parables and he's using agricultural images. He's talking about seed. And notice that his description of what seeds do is nothing exciting, nothing wild. You plant a seed, it grows. That's it. He then goes on and talks about the mustard seed, which, by the way, one time when this lesson came about and I was preaching, I had this jar full of grass seed, and I talked about sowing that, and my farmers in the congregation told me if I came near their fields with that seed, they had 10,000 acres by which to disappear me in, because you can't get grass out of a cornfield too easily. So this is actual wheat seed that was given to me. But these simple country farmers were not so simple. Riding combine with them, I felt like Captain Kirk. Their combines and tractors looked like something out of Star Trek. Many of them had master's degrees in genetics and agricultural sciences. They could also field strip a combine engine inside of 10 minutes out in a field. These simple country farmers had understood all the genetics, they understood proper practices, they understood the role of weather and all kinds of stuff. They had million-dollar equipment, and at the same time, by the end of the day, that first parable rings true. Why? Because they didn't know why it grew. It would grow, or it wouldn't. That was the end of it. They would do everything in their education to make sure the soil was best, the soil chemistry was great, the temperatures were right, everything else like that, you know, that it was planted just so, just deep enough, and everything else like that. But at the end of the day, it grew or it didn't. And they really didn't like the fact if I mentioned using mustard seed anywhere near him either. Because first century mustard seed was a weed. You know, from those of you from other parts of the country, words like kudzu or honeysuckle, or out here buffalo grass, or broom trees, things you don't want around. That's what first century mustard was. But here's the thing. Most of you cannot get anything out of the produce section of the modern-day fries or bashas without something that was originally a mustard. Not only your mustard greens and your collard greens, but your broccoli, your cauliflower, your artichokes, all of them are descendants of first-century mustard seeds. Just different things were bred in, other traits were done. So it's amazing how this weed bore a lot of fruit. But notice that's what a seed is supposed to do. You plant it, it grows, it bears fruit. The kingdom of God is like something that just does what it's supposed to do. And you're a seed. Some of you might be a little more weedy than others. But just remember, a weed just happens to be a plant that is growing where you don't want it. A rose bush is a weed if you don't want it where it is. Corn in a soybean field is a weed. And that's all it is. That's all it is. But notice that even that Jesus talks about this mustard and goes, yeah, it's a weed. But notice that even this weed provides nesting sites and shade. That all of these things in its own way produces some fruit. It shows forth something for the betterment of its location. It does what it's supposed to. It lives. But as it lives and helps others. That's what it's about. Now, the question is, in our lives, do we treat the seed that we are in a nurturing way? On this day when we remember fathers, dads, the question is nurturing. And I know some of you go, nurturing is not a word you normally associate when it's with men. Men aren't supposed to nurture. We wonder why we have so many problems. We're all supposed to be nurturing in one way or another. As, you know, as my father had for many years, he had a sign that said, anybody biologically, any male biologically can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a daddy. Remember that sign? We normally put it right next to your cup saying a journey of 1,000 miles begins with dad saying, I know a shortcut. So, you know, we were sometimes weedy too, what can we say? But are we nurturing? My neighbor, for all of his ag science knowledge, was totally disbelieving the fact I had watermelon. But as he proudly and definitely proclaimed, watermelon don't grow in Ford County. And after that summer, none did in my garden, no matter how hard I tried. How are we? Do we look at other weeds and go, yeah, that's not going to grow? Nope, nope. Are we competitive? Are we comparing? Or are we doing what we're called to do, which is to grow? And in all honesty, in growing and giving life, it's meant not just for us. This isn't a competition. We're just called to live. And in our lives, make it so others may live too. After all, we follow the one who planted himself in the ground and then rose again. We follow the one who went in to show forth what life can be. And for all of us, that is our calling too. How do we follow that? Do we take this gift of this seed, this gift of life, and live? And even as we live, may we also find that new life when we have to. May we take this gift, this fertilizer of grace and love, of peace, forgiveness. And will we grow? And may we share that with others so we all can enjoy a future with hope as we bear the fruit that has been planted in us. And remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.